The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When all the people asked John, "What must we do?" he answered, "If anyone has two tunics, he must share with the man who has none, and the one with something to eat must do the same." There were tax collectors, too, who came for baptism. And these said to him, "Master, what must we do?" He said to them, "Exact no more than your rate." Some soldiers asked him in their turn, "What about us? What must we do?" He said to them, "No intimidation, no extortion. Be content with your pay." A feeling of expectancy had grown among the people, who were beginning to think that John might be the Christ. So John declared before them all, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming, someone who is more powerful than I am, and I am not fit to undo the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn in a fire that will never go out." As well as this, there were many other things he said to exhort the people and to announce the good news to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Given that this is Gaudete Sunday, it's not surprising to find that rejoicing is a prominent theme in today's readings. The opening words of the first reading from Isaiah, which is also picked up in the psalm, bid the people of Israel to shout for joy, to rejoice, to sing. Such rejoicing is called for in recognition that God is present among his people, leading his people, driving away Israel's enemies, forgiving her infidelities and sins, renewing his love for Israel, and protecting her. God does mighty deeds for his people, and Israel knows that and rejoices in that knowledge. And it is not only Israel that shouts and dances for joy. God does too. He rejoices with his people. Why? For the simple fact that God loves them. They are his children, his chosen people, and there is nothing he will not do for them. This love finds its greatest expression in the coming of his Son, the expected Messiah, who will redeem, save, and liberate his people, and that includes us. God stops at nothing to help us, his beloved creatures, his children. So it's fitting that we too should enter into a spirit of rejoicing for the one who comes. Yet, in this, our contemporary society, it can be difficult to enter this spirit of rejoicing for the coming of the Messiah. There is much that characterizes our society and culture as good and praiseworthy. Its promotion of human rights, freedom, justice, education for all, fairness, and so on. But for us who have faith, there are also shadows. For it is a society that is becoming increasingly secularized, materialistic, consumer-driven, celebrity-obsessed, massively influenced by mass media, which tends to be either aggressively hostile or at best disinterested or indifferent on matters of faith. Even in the political sphere, we are assailed by some controversial policies that go against fundamental Christian values and teachings of Christ. Such powerful negative influences can smother the true joy that we can otherwise connect with as we await the coming of Christ. This joy can also be smothered by the bombardment of market advertising, which endlessly present images enticing us to buy and buy and buy this and that, because to this way of thinking, that is the bottom line of what this Advent season is all about. It creates a feel-good factor, perhaps, but it misses the fundamental point of the meaning and focus of Advent, which is to prepare for the coming of Christ. How then to recover this sense of joy that Scripture, the Word of God, has presented to us today? It is by recognizing and coming to an ever deeper awareness that all we have received comes from God. Everything we have is gift from our Creator. The life we have been given and the destiny to which He calls us, which is to be with Him in a state of total happiness and fulfillment. This is the life St. Paul has in mind when he tells the church at Philippi that he desires their happiness in the Lord, a happiness that will give them peace for their restless hearts. The road to such happiness and peace is given to us by God in the coming of His Son, for the coming of the Lord. In the Gospel, various people asked John the Baptist what they must do to prepare for the coming of the Lord. We might ask ourselves the same question: how can we best prepare for the coming of the Lord, so that we may capture that authentic joy as we welcome Christ amidst all the distractions that our busy lives in the world of work and the world of the tinseled megastores bombard us with? By taking a step back, by creating some inner space and quiet, and by raising our heart and mind to God in prayer, even if we can afford only a few minutes a day, and also actively participating in the celebration of the Eucharist, where we encounter the Lord in a unique and wonderful way. This will serve to help dispose both mind and heart to receive anew the Christ who is coming with gratitude and joy.